I love Lent. I do. Sometimes I long for it. In our world that is generally focused on success and achievements, being the best, winning the race, and critiquing all others who do not measure up to our standards, Lent, and particularly Ash Wednesday, call us to acknowledge our mortality, and that no matter how much we seek to do the right thing, even we do not always do it. There's humility in this day that is so refreshing in our world. We share with all humanity a difficult situation, one in which we sin, others sin, and many systems and structures are set up so that one is caught up in sinful situations, such as racist systems, homophobic, sexist systems that hurt the earth. We could go on. Sin is so obvious in our lives and in our world, and yet we don't really like to talk about it, and we don't talk about it much. In those terms, sin is such a medieval word, right? Brings us up short. Back in 2000, Barbara Brown Taylor wrote a book, it was published then, entitled Speaking of Sin, The Lost Language of Salvation. As much as the joy of Easter is experienced in a deeper, more meaningful way when one has journeyed with God through Lent, and particularly Holy Week, we need to talk about sin and forgiveness so that we can speak about this language and speak in the language of salvation. This is really what Ash Wednesday is all about. This is why it's filled with grace. This is why I love it. We may spend a lot of time and money trying to prove that we can save ourselves. Certainly that is the way of the world. That sort of thinking that, for example, considers the money to be made more important than, say, caring for the earth in a sustainable, loving way. This idea that if we think we're right, we are right. Ash Wednesday welcomes us to what is real. Ash Wednesday welcomes us to what is real about us and about God. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. In our funeral service, we say, all we go down to the dust, but even at the grave we make our song. You know what comes next? That the word we're not supposed to say during Lent? Ali, yeah. Well, even at the grave we rejoice because God does what we cannot do. God saves us. God rejoices in us and will never let us go. God remembers we are but dust and loves us, forgives us, and gives us eternal life. This is the eternal life we have now in God, in part, that never ends. Don't you feel that part of yourself that's never going to end? That's real. That's real. God loves you so much, God won't ever let you go. And so we have ashes. We make them in the form of a cross on our foreheads today. People have used ashes as a sign of mortality, of penitence, of being humble before God for millennia, to show and acknowledge our mortal nature and that we repent of the wrongs we have done. The form of the confession that we use every Wednesday at the 12:15 service when it's the service for healing, we say that we repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. That really covers it. After receiving ashes today, we will pray the Litany of Penitence, which covers many of the sins we have committed and sins we might not feel as enslaved by personally. So see what speaks to you. From what does God desire you to turn today? To turn away? What does God desire you to leave behind or move on from doing or participating in? And to what is God calling you in order to be more in tune with God's love and care for you and to enable you to be more about God in the world? The season of Lent, which we begin today, is often thought of as a time to give something up. And we all know, of course, the idea behind that is to make more room for God. So if giving something up helps make more room for you, for God, then great, do that. If taking on a new spiritual practice or increasing, say, reading of the Bible, perhaps you want to come to one of our Lenten programs, come to church more, whatever it is, if it helps you get closer to God, and those things I just mentioned are sort of time-proven things that do, try that. Try that. God's inviting you to. Our readings today are very clear that the reason to worship and do these acts that are penitential is to deepen our love for God and so that we can love others. If we're doing it to be noticed by others, to be seen as righteous, then of course we've missed the point. Such a warning about practicing your piety before others, I would say, is not as necessary now to be warned about this as it was in Isaiah's time or in Jesus' time. Why? Because in general, our culture does not value acts of piety. We don't think, I can't wait to be seen with ashes on my head so everyone will know how holy I am. We generally aren't thinking that. If anything, you might be thinking, how fast can I wash these ashes off so that my friends and coworkers won't think I'm weird? Now, the younger you are, the more true this tends to be. Perhaps that's where the whole glitter ash movement has come from. If you're not familiar with this, glitter ashes were created by those looking for a way to connect with people who don't often connect with church and maybe bring some sort of updated reality to ashes. I'm a bit torn on the whole glitter ash issue. Part of the idea is that glitter ashes connect with the LGBT community, as glitter is somehow, I don't really understand this myself, but is connected. And so for some, glitter ashes might speak for justice in a way that would help a person keep from not serving their own interest on their fast day, but for others, maybe it would be serving our own interest. It's very specific, and I guess that's what worries me about it. When I first heard of glitter ashes, I actually did not think about the LGBT connection, but about the fact, or in my mind, the thought that there are already in the ashes hidden glitter, if you will, already there, a glitter that speaks to the glory of eternity to which these ashes point, that God remembers that we are but dust, and there are flakes of gold in there for me. I actually thought that's kind of what it was about. Flakes of gold, glitter we can't see now, but it's there, and we will see it. The traditional ashes we will use, can you believe we're talking about traditional ashes? It's kind of funny. Are in support of all of us and of all people and speak to all situations, I believe, the human condition. And then, on another topic that here I think at Holy Comforter we think about a lot and others may think about, for those who wonder about all this introspection, you know, about considering where you, where I am personally with God and having all this introspection, it's important for us, as Isaiah reminds us forcefully, that it's connected to our action in the world when it's going right. When our inner landscape is in good shape, we're better able to be for God in the world. And we have those wonderful words from Isaiah when it's going right that help us to know, that help you to know that your actions here today are not just about you, but you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. When our personal relationship with God is expressed in the world by feeding the hungry, supporting the oppressed, breaking the yokes that keep people bound, when that's happening, we know we are not just serving our own interest on this, our fast day. What we do in this Ash Wednesday service helps us to remember that when we are serving others, it is God who gives us the grace and the strength to do so, for we are but dust. Amen.